Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz.
Hi, Maddie. We have so much to get to.
Yeah,
we last 30 seconds while we were doing sound check, we came up with four or five different non-sports topics.
You're upset at your wife for very reasonable reasons, but I'm going to defend her.
Okay. Not upset with. Okay. Confused by how I'm supposed to respond.
Okay, sure. If you want to do that.
Well, no, but it is true because I'm not upset at her. Yeah, that sounds like she did something and I'm mad at her. I don't know how to respond.
Yes, you are not filled with rage. That is true. That is true.
I am no rageaholic.
Yeah.
I have no rageahol in me.
Sandra doesn't listen to this anyway. You're fine.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Although this will be the one she listens to because, you know, whenever we talk about her and I say negative shit, that seems to be the one that she hears.
You know what it is? It's a snitch. It's someone who listens, who knows Sandra, and then they'll drop an email or a text. Hey, I just thought you should know that this happened.
Quick sidebar from the sidebar from the sidebar.
Yeah.
Is it wrong that I've taught my daughter at 9 years old that snitches get stitches?
See, that's a tough one because no one likes a tattletale. No one likes any of that. On the other end, there is sometimes when, you know, when you're a kid, you should alert people of power that... you know, shit's going down.
Right.
So it's a complicated.
It's complicated.
It is. It's a
complicated. But if you said to her, hey, Charlotte, what do snitches get? She would say, stitches.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Totally cool.
My dad taught her this phrase. If you say to her, I'm from New Jersey. What'd you see? She'll say, nothing.
I want to know the circumstances that come up where someone actually, a stranger asks Charlotte that
question. Where are you
from? Yeah.
Jersey. What'd you see? Nothing.
Nothing.
All right, so anyway, winter is coming. It's cold. I wanted to get a toque out the other day. It was drizzly. I have my favorite toque. I had my outfit all planned in my mind, my red roll-up toque from Muttonhead, and I couldn't find the bag with all the winter stuff in it because, like many homes, when winter comes, you swap out your winter stuff, bring out the summer, and at the end of the season, you swap it back.
You swap it back.
And it looks like our bag of winter stuff, three people's worth of hats, scarves, mittens, gloves has been tossed out. Sandra's been on a cleaning, in her own words, rampage.
Yep.
And it looks like the bag, which was indistinguishable from so many others, got tossed out.
Yeah.
So here's my challenge, Matt. I don't know how I'm supposed to respond to this. Some of my favorite things were in that. I got this one toque, this Wu-Tang toque.
Yep.
It's been with me for like 25 years. I love that toque. And also the aforementioned red toque. They're probably gone.
Probably gone.
Now, her response to this was, I was cleaning a lot, and she walked away. So there was no acknowledgement of the lost items.
Yeah. That's so problematic.
I don't know how to respond, because part of me is like, my favorite stuff got thrown out.
Yeah.
Another part of me is, your wife was cleaning the house while I was probably upstairs, you know, playing, you know, Monster Crush on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I should shut up.
Here's the thing. She should acknowledge some even bare minimum level of, oh, damn, I'm sorry, my bad. You know, just a quick my bad, and then we all move on. She should 100% do that.
But in the absence of that, which is where we seem to be now.
Yeah, what do you do?
Can I ask for that?
No, because then it's an insincere apology. I think what you really need to do here, Bob, is you need to go passive aggressive. You need to ask her, you know, like, I don't want an apology because I've moved on. I'm just curious why you wouldn't have.
That's not passive aggressive, Matt.
That's aggressive.
Okay, yeah. When you say to someone, how come you won't do a decent thing?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's like,
Hey, Sam,
if I read between the lines, you're accusing me of not being decent.
Hey, Sam, usually you're a good person. How come you weren't a good person this time? I'm curious about it. Like, was it a bad day? Like, what happened? I go that route. But the one thing I'm going to say is, as the cleaner in this house, I get it when you start to get in clean mode and the momentum, and then you want to clean, you want to organize. And now I've never thrown out anything of Amy's. She's going to get upset by this, but she's wildly unorganized, and she'd agree.
Hang on. Amy's coming on the mic for this because her gasp of disbelief was so pronounced. It needs to be followed up.
Before that,
he lies. He just lies. He's thrown out so much of my stuff. I'm sad.
Name one thing that's been thrown out.
Is this you being passive aggressive, Matt? Are you being passive aggressive as you challenge her to name one thing you've done wrong?
Now, I understand why she would say that, because I will get aggressive and I throw out a lot of my own stuff, and I'm a clean freak. I'm the weirdo that likes an empty closet, even though a closet is designed to store stuff. Before Amy moved in.
That's a really funny point.
But it's true.
Does it bother you when there are things, when things are being stored in the storage area?
I know, it's so dumb. But when I lived alone, I loved looking at my empty, like, almost empty closet. There'd be a couple things in there, but it'd be mostly empty space. And I don't know why, that filled me with joy.
Now, is it better if it's almost empty? Because that proves...
Yeah.
It's not like you have no stuff. It's like you're so lean,
yeah,
all you need is this.
Yeah. Oh,
they were Albert great. Einstein had the same suit.
That's
over
right.
And over again, just had all this, so he never had to think about what he was wearing. And you know who also did that in modern times? Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
I read he did the same thing, just as smart as Albert Einstein.
Yeah, I was going to say, people don't know that. Him, but I guess I'm as smart as Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, you really are.
Yep.
So anyway, that was just one of the sidebars here, one of the many, many, many. What do you? How was Disneyland?
Disneyland was excellent. I would highly recommend it. Did the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, and they do a really good job. And people in the wine industry, they would sort of turn their nose on Disney, like, oh, it's just going to be this giant corporate blah, blah, blah. But they did a really good job, and they had, like, you know, 40 or so different countries, and they brought in some funky wines. It wasn't just all mass-produced bull. So that was good. We went to...
Did you drink the wine out of, like, a gigantic Darth Vader head?
That would be nice. No, they give you little biodegradable little cups. Mm.
I like the other biodegradable Darth Vader?
Yeah, biodegradable Darth Vader. It was great, and, did all the Halloween stuff, and I was...
Did you do rides?
Yeah, we did some rides.
What ride did you do?
Yeah, like...
Did you do California Screamin'?
No, we didn't do a lot. We didn't do the roller coasters. We did all this...
Oh, holiday. But you were in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah,
right,
so we wouldn't have done California Screamin'. But I'll say this. A shout out, like, the kids, they're hardy. Like, our first night there, we left at, like, 12:30, and it rained. And by rain, I mean, at one point, it was a monsoon. It was the tail end of a hurricane, where the only way I could have been more wet is if I jumped in a pond.
Mm-hmm.
And we're walking back to the buses, and there's all these kids walking back. None of them are crying.
That's great.
Yeah.
And rare, because usually Disneyland is where families end.
Yeah. Disneyland or IKEA.
Right.
It's one of the two.
Just, that's it. I'm sick of you all.
Yeah.
I don't care if we're related by blood.
Yeah.
I never want to see any of you again.
Imagine being stuck in a line. It's like, I'm going to be with my family in a line for 90 minutes.
I'm going to recommend to anybody who enjoys good stand-up comedy, look up on YouTube Tom Papa's bit on taking his kids to Disneyland.
Ooh, okay.
Tom Papa, very funny guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Opens for Seinfeld all the time. Like him, works pretty darn clean.
Yep.
And so he's a great stand-up with amazing comic timing and storytelling ability, and he works pretty clean. And I bet you any money he has, like, a beautiful car and a great home just by opening up for Jerry Seinfeld all the time.
It's a good gig.
That's a great
gig. That is a great gig. What's Charlotte going out for Halloween as?
She's a YouTuber named Lunar Eclipse.
Okay.
Yeah. For the last couple of years, she's been signing her tests at school Lunar.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's her way of me not having to lecture her about Lunar's lousy marks.
That reminds me of the time I once copied my friend and wrote his name down instead of mine. But that's only because I was copying off him in grade 8 French.
You did not.
I wrote David Kennedy.
Wait.
Name, and then there's the colon, then you put your name. I wrote David Kennedy because I was copying everything off of his. I didn't do well there. I would later drop French in grade 9 at the general level.
You didn't do well there.
Yeah.
Did you get busted?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got busted.
So this wasn't like Matt Etobicoke white privilege where you didn't get caught cheating for obvious cheating.
No. Also, when everyone is white, it sort of gets rid of the white privilege. You know, for white...
That's a good point.
Yeah. For white privilege to really work, it requires hardworking minorities that are getting stomped on by whitey like me.
You know what would have been funny is if you would have launched a Trumpian campaign back then to deny that you had cheated.
Yeah.
You wrote down Dave Kennedy. Yeah. I did not.
Yeah. That would be pretty ballsy.
You're not
kinda like him.
But you're not Dave Kennedy. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Aren't we all David Kennedy? If you look around at the Humber Valley
I resent
Village,
the process here.
Yeah.
Why are you having these closed door meetings about whether or not I cheated?
Yeah, exactly.
Why am I not represented there?
Where's my A+? Give me my A plus.
This was a perfect test.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect test.
Perfect test.
This was the most glamorous French test. If I may, in three words, ooh la la. That's my French test.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right, so we've what are we at? 9 minutes now?
9 minutes and 50 seconds.
God, we just waste people's time. Okay, I want to talk to you about the Leafs.
Yep.
Probably not a shock.
Nope.
I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
How did you feel about, I know it's a little long in the tooth, but how do you feel about the Washington game, both on the ice and Ovi's stuff beforehand?
Loved Ovi before. Yeah. Ovechkin saying, hey, you know, if the young guys, if they want to win, there's a way to do it. I love that Ovi has now become the sage old hockey wisdom guy. It's quite a transformation for him. He's not.
Was he saying it on a Segway?
Yeah,
with a bottle of champagne in his hand.
Well, no, but I'm thinking more like 2000 and like early, like the idea of Ovechkin saying you can't play selfish offensive hockey. You know, is fun because when he was younger, he scored a lot of goals, helped this team win. But you know, he certainly had the reputation of, hey, just get the puck over here. I got a lot of shooting to do. But he's 100% right. You know, he is right. And also, he lived it. Like, Kane and Malcolm and Crosby and all those guys, they won a cup at 22. You know, Ovechkin won it at 32. So, he knows. He knows how hard it is.
He's kind of the perfect guy to talk to an Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
Austin Matthews looks like he could score 60 goals if he stays healthy. He's
fantasy-wise, Matthews has been unbelievable.
What a tear.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you always feel like every time he steps on the ice that somebody's going to score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either they are or we are, but somebody's going to score.
Yeah. Hey, goaltenders, Matthews on the ice.
As the great Jeff Merrick once said about Chris Letang, he could be in on every goal in a 6-5 game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. But, like, you see Matthews in the Washington game when he's in front of Holtby and he's calling for Tyson Barrie, just shoot it at me, don't worry. And then Barrie shot it at him and he deflected it in. You're like, oh, my God, you see that skill. And then, you know, there's the other side that leaves you wanting. And the same thing with Marner, who defensively hasn't been as good. The Leafs right now are an incredible fantasy hockey team, and they're an underwhelming real hockey team.
They remind me a bit of the Raptors, and we've talked about this before, in the sense that they're going to beat up on bad teams and struggle against good teams. That's what we've seen consistently. I want to ask you about expectations and perception.
Yep.
You're on the air every day. You're taking tweets from people, texts, calls.
Yeah.
How would you say people feel about this team in terms of their likability?
Remember the Chris Farley sketch where he's not drinking his coffee, he's drinking decaf, and they make fun of the commercial, and then he freaks out at everyone, and they interview him later. How do they make you feel? Angry. That's like, it's so funny because you've got all the Leaf fans that are underwhelmed by the team, that's saying they're soft and they're not tough enough, they're getting pushed around. Then you get the younger blog, social media, analytics people saying, that's stupid and archaic, shut up Neanderthal, all that counts is scoring. You want Matthews to get in a fight and get a concussion and break his fist. And then those two groups start fighting, and then other groups come in and they get angry at that reaction, and then someone gets angry at the reaction of the reaction, and then at the end I look up, I'm like, why do I have 28 notifications on my Twitter account? I haven't tweeted in ages. It's a whirlwind of emotion. I think everyone is underwhelmed. I think people are underwhelmed for different reasons.
Do you think the analytics community is underwhelmed?
Yeah.
In your description.
Yeah, so I think they are, because they're still loving the process, but the result is not matching it.
Right. Here's what I was thinking. Let me throw this question out.
Yeah.
Who is the most likable Leaf right now?
God, I hate money. They all get paid and everyone becomes a little less likable, don't they?
Who is?
Jake Muzzin.
Is he?
Muzzin, because at least he represents some level of toughness. And it's not that the Leafs got to be Broad Street Bully. They just... A little bit of emotional energy would be nice.
I thought about Muzzin because he's played, and we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks. He's been consistent. Mm-hmm. He plays like a grown-up.
Yep.
He lends stability to a unit that needs it. He's done pretty much what you would ask him to do.
Yep.
He hasn't overperformed, but he certainly hasn't underperformed.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, you know, he came in halfway through last year.
Yep.
He plays in the shadow of Morgan Rielly. I don't know that people can rally around Jake Muzzin. He's not that kind of player.
No, he's not.
And it doesn't feel like he's going to be here much longer anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he might be. He might not.
He might not. I mean, the player that inspires the most emotion is Matthews.
Yeah.
You know, because he does these glorious things that so few people can do.
How come he's not more likable then?
Because he gets walked on every now and then on defense. Yeah. Because guys that are smaller than him get past him. Because there are times when you see him defensively in the Leaf zone where he's not doing his job, where he's standing around. And because he's so big and talented, you're like, why are you not doing anything? Or the Montreal game where Jeff Petrie hits Tyson Barrie. And it's a clean hit, but man, Barrie got whacked. And Petrie just skated by Matthews, and Matthews didn't do a thing. And it's not like we need you to take your stick and ram it down the throat of Jeff Petrie, but a little bit of pushback. That's all. And there was none of it. And I think that offends the hockey sensibilities of a lot of people.
So here's the conclusion that I drew, mm-hmm. was that in a city that's dying for a hockey hero, there isn't really one.
Yeah.
But the closest thing, I think, is John Tavares.
Yeah.
I think he is the most likable Leaf.
Because he was away for a lot of these like bad defensive efforts, and we're waiting for him to come back. And yeah, he does feel like the adult in the room, because he's, you know, 7-8 years older than guys like Matthews.
And the results are there. The effort is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it suddenly dawned on me how old-fashioned hockey that answer is. You've got the most dynamic goal scorer in the game, arguably, in Austin Matthews.
Yep.
You've got one of the two or three most electrifying playmakers in Mitch Marner.
Yep.
But we don't mention those guys as the most likable. What we like is the guy who's dependable, scores a goal off his ass from time to time, doesn't give you a good quote. But it kind of occurs to me, in the absence of results,
mm-hmm.
that's the process we're drawn towards.
Yeah, and by the way, I always tell our intern, whenever a new intern comes,
uh-huh.
if they find us a good clip of John Tavares where he's funny, entertaining, and says something interesting, they get any job they want. If they want Jeff O'Neill's job, you take Jeff O'Neill's job. If you want to be the assistant program director, you choose whatever job you want if you get that Tavares.
Like shopping at the end of Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, yeah, whatever one.
And I'll have the rest on account?
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.
Is an old school. Yeah, I'll take the catamaran and the rest of the money on account. Always the catamaran. By the way, nothing was better on Price is Right. When the couple would be an old couple and they'd win a sailboat, and the look of them trying to be excited, but they're like, I have got so many issues with my hip. This is not.
I got a better one.
Right.
Because you can always give that to the grandkids.
Yeah.
It's when the guy would win the China hutch.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When they would go out and get the sporty guy, and the sporty guy would be like, car, trip.
He's got an Ohio State sweater on and he gets the China hutch. It's like, I live alone in a 600 square foot bachelor place. This is not going to help me at all.
Okay. What's the best old school Price is Right game? And you can't say Plinko because it's not.
But the
Alpine Climber?
Alpine Climber. Yeah.
It's the most fun gimmick.
Yeah.
But it's not the best game. I think the best game is when you have to get the four prices of the things lined up correctly with the tags, and you run and you pull the lever.
That's
and it
a
would
good
show
one.
Like 0, 1, 2, 4.
That is a good one because it also requires some physicality.
So that's the thing, right? So people are getting tired.
Yeah.
The clock's at 30 seconds.
It's like $47 for the Miata. I don't care anymore. Like, bleep it. Bleep it, Bob. You old man with your creepily skinny microphone. I'm tired. Getting back to it, and actually using money as this.
Okay.
I think money and contracts play a part in the likability scale. Because what's been the last couple ones? It was Marner, and there was Nylander and Matthews. The Tavares contract kind of flew under the radar because he was an unrestricted free agent. We were just so happy that he came here, and he could have taken apparently more money from San Jose. So we don't think of Tavares and money the same way we do with the other guys.
Okay, so let's look at that, because this is another thing that lends to Tavares's likability.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hometown guy.
Yep.
And in a weird sort of way, he's the only one who did take a hometown discount,
even
though he wasn't on the team, because he could have gotten more money somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else who's negotiated has been so far away from that.
Oh, yeah.
That it's almost like he's shaming them without trying.
Yeah. It's true, and I threw it the other day, and it's something we've talked about in the past. It's a pet topic of mine. Would we enjoy sports more if we didn't know how much anyone made?
1,000,000%.
Yeah,
like we couldn't agree more.
Yeah, like our anger, like you'd still be upset when you see a guy as talented as Matthews not doing everything he needs to do defensively, but you'd be a little bit less. Same thing, you know, with Marner and the penalty in overtime against Ovechkin, and same thing with Nylander, who was incredible in that Caps game. But yeah, if money was not involved, our anger level would be less.
Is it too early to start saying, why can't Nylander hit the net? Like, can you have a great shot if you don't hit the net? I'm not saying he's Dion Phaneuf from the point, but yeah. He seems to miss an awful lot.
He's captain process. Is like his process.
I think the numbers will be there in the end.
Yeah.
I imagine it'll be between 60 and 70 points.
Mm-hmm. Better not be 50.
Ooh, it boy. Might be.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, boy.
After last year
and
after the holdout?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, so going back to this idea of likability, this team has now been constructed to win.
Yeah.
This team is basically going to stay more or less this way for the next 3 or 4 years. This is the squad.
Yeah.
You've got your core four. Mm-hmm. You've got some key components and some interchangeable pieces that'll come and go. The Candy Maldonados of the world.
There you go.
You're on one roster. You're not on the next one.
The Daniel Hudsons of the world.
Right.
Got the save in the World Series, game 7.
Isn't that
great?
We'll get to that in a bit. I made a kind of an arcane reference because I'm always amazed by how different the 92 and the 93 Jays are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely different teams.
Right? Like, just so weird that they went back-to-back, and yet they feel like different squads altogether.
92 pitching with Dave Winfield, 93 Wamco.
Right?
Yeah.
The Paul Molitor year. Okay, so just going back to it. I'm amazed and intrigued to see what is going to make this a likable team. And I know winning is the easy answer.
Yep.
But there's something else, too. And it's rubbing against the culture that I didn't even know I had. Because I tend to champion the young voices. When I was a kid, I loved the Fab Five at Michigan. I loved how they wore their socks and their shorts. It was great. Loved it. You know, they were the NWA of basketball. And all through the years, generally, if you're willing to sort of poke your finger in the eye of authority, I like that.
Yep.
But I like it this time. And I'm trying to figure out why. And maybe it's because they're not poking their eye in the eye of authority. They just look like sucks.
Yeah, and there is a difference. There is a difference. I think we live in a culture now where I think sometimes we too much embrace the youth. Like, they're going to teach us and lead the way. I'm like, you know, a lot of them, they're 11. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
It's the limitations of talent.
Yeah. Like, they should be doing more, you know? And like the thing about the Fab Five is, you know, they were going to the finals as freshmen. Mm-hmm. You know, that was incredible.
Right.
And the shorts, that was the, wait, why do we got to wear these John Stockton things? No. This is us.
Yeah, this is how we dress in our lives.
They backed it up. It feels like when the Leafs win, it's usually this year so far, they've beaten bad teams, but just overwhelming them with talent without as much of the hard work.
But when they're faced with adversity, mm-hmm. they tend to shy away from it.
Yeah.
And they're very beatable. When evenly matched.
And other teams have been saying it. Other teams have been saying, yeah, you know, you can get in these guys' heads. And Kasperi Kapanen said that. And Tyson, you know, he came out and said, yeah, teams think they can bully us. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, they can.
Yeah, because they can.
They can, yeah. It's not that they think they can. They have successfully proven mm-hmm. that they can.
You just, you don't want your team to be pushed around. You know, especially against lesser competition. You don't want, like, the first line, and Jonas Siegel from The Athletic wrote about it, like, some nights their possession shooting numbers are incredible. Then other nights they're incredibly low. Like against Montreal, you know, the Matthews line should have been dummying Montreal's first line in terms of talent, but it wasn't that case at all. And it just feels like, hey, guys, just put the effort in.
So to just sort of go back to the original
question.
Yeah,
the likable.
Should we care? Or just care about the result?
No, we should care because the way that the playoffs in hockey are set up, you know, it's something we both lament. I would love playoffs that were filled with a lot more 6-5 games, but that mm-hmm. doesn't exist. So you have to care because if you want your team to win a championship, you'll win one 6-5 game in a 7-game series, but the other 3 wins you're going to get are going to be 3-2, 2-1.
So I'm going to say something I didn't think I was ever going to say on this pod.
All right.
You voted for Doug Ford.
I did. And he's doing a bang up job.
Great job.
You know what? With a little more work, my kids' class size can get to 30. Oh, why stop at 28?
Why
try to hit 30?
You know what? Business is open again, Bob. What does that even mean? Business is open again.
Something good, I guess.
Yeah.
What was I saying again?
You're going to say something about the Leafs that you never thought you'd say.
That just the way that these first 10, 15 games have played out.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking more at Dubas than I am at Babcock. And I didn't think that I would say that.
Mm.
But he invested heavily in these kids. And you hope that they can be coached up and taught how to win.
Yeah.
But maybe they just won't. The world is filled with talented people who don't live up to their potential. Filled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
More than not.
Yeah. And you know what also hurts Dubas? Masai Ujiri.
Yeah.
How'd they win a championship? Hey, Dwayne Casey. Gone. DeMar. We're trading you.
Right.
Now, luck is involved, but the Leafs got lucky where they were bad in the year where Austin Matthews was available. But Masai Ujiri is ruthless when he needs to be. Kyle Dubas doesn't really feel that way. Like, maybe Dubas would be ruthless to Freddie Gauthier one day or something like that, but it just doesn't feel... He's going to be ruthless to Colton Orr, but... You know, I don't know if he has that in him. And it's not like you need every day to be the tyrant. Every now and then, though, you got to get at the stink eye.
You know when you're in the grocery store lineup and it's long and the parent has a kid and the kid's misbehaving and the parent doesn't say anything to the kid?
Yeah.
And you want to say something to the kid, but what you really want to do is say something to the parent like, hey.
Hey, yeah.
Corral your little demon here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you know what? They're just doing what they do.
Yeah.
You're the grown-up in the room.
Oh,
I'm starting to feel that way a little bit about Kyle Dubas, which is like, hey, you sign these guys.
Yeah.
You tell them to back check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like...
No bad students, only bad teachers.
If your partner is being mauled by a lion, you don't tiss the lion. You go, where's the zookeeper?
As the great Chris Rock said about Siegfried and Roy,
yep.
The tiger didn't go berserk. Mm-hmm. The tiger went tiger.
Exactly. So come on, parents. Get your shit together.
It's true.
And by the way, I feel sorry for the parents in Montreal. You know, they've canceled. They want to cancel Halloween.
I saw the headline, but I don't know what the story is.
Basically, because of just how much rain and wind and stuff that's going to be in Montreal, they're urging that the entire city just do trick-or-treating on Friday. And the hard thing with that is a lot of people have plans. Like, well, no, we were going to be away on Friday. Like, oh my, it's going to be a disaster. I mean, this is the Super Bowl for kids. It's Halloween. It's the biggest day of the year.
It's the second biggest day of the year.
Christmas.
Christmas
right.
is the biggest
day. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
But Halloween is a reasonable, second.
Yeah.
Oof. I don't know. Is that the right call? Because it might be ruined if it's coming down in buckets. Trust me. I mean, having trick-or-treated in bad weather before with a kid, unpleasant experience.
Yeah. Well, I hope Lunar Eclipse has an umbrella.
An umbrella?
Yeah. That's going to be key.
She has a test today.
What's that?
I told her she could write her test as Lunar Eclipse. She was very excited about that.
Nice, nice. Did you tell the teacher that? You know who could be the most likable right now?
Mm.
Zach Hyman.
He represents the lost heart.
Yeah, he'll fix Tavares. He'll make sure that Marner is better defensively. Like, Zach Hyman could be the hero that we never thought we needed, but whatever the expression is from Dark Knight. But could be Hyman. I don't want it to be Hyman. You know who I want the most likable guy to be? I want it to be Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. Because if those guys are the most likable, that means they're doing all the things they're supposed to do. And teams, when the best player is doing everything they're supposed to do, they win. Ovechkin, 4 points the other night and did his job. So
I want to go back to something you did. I don't know if you meant to do this, but it occurred to me, talking about Batman and the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Mike Babcock is on the Dark Knight narrative arc.
When
he first came to Gotham, that being Toronto, there was like this, ooh, what's going on? And it was all exciting, right? And then, as he says in the movie, if you stick around long enough, you become the villain.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, we were anti-Batman. We were anti-Babcock.
Yeah.
But now it feels like he's kind of gone away, and now all of his methods are being vindicated.
I don't know.
And he's on the rise. So he's like the Dark Knight Rising.
I don't know if he's at... I would go with that, except for... Why was Anderson not playing against Montreal when he only had to make 17 saves against San Jose and the Leafs had a really light schedule this week?
Okay,
in that case, Batman, it feels like you're still crashing the bat car into the orphanage.
Logic says you're right, but my only question is, what is Anderson's feeling about this? Because he may not be saying publicly that Anderson wants to do it this way, because, you know, goalies are weird.
Then flip him. Flip him, Anderson. You're the better goalie. Get the tougher assignment.
Yeah, but what if he says, like, this is what I'm used to. This is what I want to do.
It's like a starting pitcher.
I'm not saying that's the case, but it is like a starting pitcher. Yeah. Like, no, what if he's simply respecting the pattern that
if he's Justin Verlander, he's going Verlander.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but it might be.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good
point. And he would be right to say nothing if that was the case, because then people would be on Anderson's case.
Yeah. Go get Babcock. It's the smart move.
Right.
It's the smart move. Yeah. I think there are people that are craving for. They're craving for discipline. They're craving for hard work, and they're looking to Babcock for the answers. And that's what everything comes down to, is how much do you think a coach can impact this? And if you think a coach can impact a lot of it, then Babcock, you're on watch.
It feels like Babcock is, going back to this kids thing again, the teacher at a private school. Mm-hmm. I remember this one time I had this French teacher, and he came to our school, and he said when he first came in his teaching degree, he was teaching at this Richie Rich school. I think it might have been Northern Toronto or Lawrence Park. Anyway, one of the public schools in a rich area.
Yeah.
And he was giving this kid shit because the kid didn't do his work. And the kid looked at him and said, my father makes more in a year than you'll make ever in your life. So why should I listen to you?
Oh, my God.
But at that point, you realize, like, this teacher has no options left.
Yeah.
Like, this kid's a jerk.
Yeah.
And this kid's not going to listen.
No.
And this kid's untouchable. And feels untouchable.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like Babcock reminds me of my old French teacher in that sense. Like, he can try to punish these kids.
Yeah.
But what's he going to do?
Yeah.
What's he going to do? They're insulated by A, their talent, B, their contracts, right? Mm-hmm. And just C, the fact that star players don't really get upgraded even when they don't act like star players.
Yeah.
So
that's what made the Ovechkin thing so good.
Peer on peer.
Peer-on-peer crime, player-on-player crime. They respond to that. Matthews was asked about that Ovechkin quote, and the first thing Matthews said was, yeah, you know, it did take Washington a long time to get past Pittsburgh. You know, he cited, like, you know when you how you win an argument is when you cite a specific example? Well, Matthews was right there with that on the tip of his tongue. Players, you know, especially...
They know. They know everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when a veteran who has won it all and after winning it all is still producing, and Washington right now is the top team in the NHL.
But it was interesting because he said he needs a Dale Hunter to teach him defense. Dale Hunter did not last in Washington, but he certainly left his mark.
Here's what we could say. The message, bang on. The messenger, curious.
I think the Leafs are in danger of becoming highly unlikable. Because if this season continues this way and it winds up being unsatisfying and it feels like these kids are not giving their all.
Yeah.
And in hockey, playing physical is giving your all, whether you like it or not. And you don't have to be a bruiser, but you do have to try to win 50-50 battles. You do have to make the effort to come back on defense. You have to be engaged physically.
And we saw more of that against Washington.
1,000,000%. They can do it. But here's the thing. Literally anybody can.
Yeah.
Literally anybody can. Mm-hmm. Nobody is saying, hey, Mitch Marner, you need to be as strong as Evander Kane. Nobody's saying that. What they are saying is, hey, Mitch Marner, you can't be afraid to go into the middle of the ice because you're going to get hit. So you're going to stay off in the perimeter and limit your offensive options. And everybody knows it. And they're not afraid of you anymore.
Speaking of perimeter, Nylander, who, again, great game against Washington. Got to get more in the middle as well. Got to, you know, you got to muck it up there as well.
You know what? When you see those heat maps of where the shots are generated.
Oh, it's so good by The Athletic. Now, Ian Tulloch, shout out. Great job.
He does a lot of good work.
Yeah.
I find sometimes he does speak like he has 4 or 5 cup rings in his cupboard. But you know what, though? He's a very intelligent guy and he follows the game closely.
So yeah.
Clearly passionate.
It's, it could go unlikable because of the money and because they're really talented. And when the results don't meet the talent, even if the process is there, in the end, if the results don't meet the talent and the contracts, then yeah, that's the recipe for unlikable. You want to know what unlikable looks like? That's what it looks like.
And considering the Raptors, considering that TFC is now in the MLS Cup final.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob,
there are other options, man.
There are. And I talked about it the other day. I said, listen, people, you need to emotionally diversify your sports portfolio.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. So I did that for an open thought one day.
That's good.
Yeah. But then I also brought up the point that the Raptors can make it difficult for me to fully embrace the Leafs. There was one of those games where the Leafs just stunk it up, and then the Raptors came on. It was their home opener, or the opener against the Pelicans. And I was rooting like crazy. I'm like, why am I this pumped for game one?
Right.
It's because I needed the cleanse. Yeah. I needed the palate cleanse from what I saw from the Leafs.
Yeah, that's true. And I think my Leafs in six words that day was at least the Raptors were good.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you, for work, you've got to watch the Leafs above the Raptors because it's hockey and
yeah,
it's
hockey,
still...
Yeah, hockey is still first.
Yeah, and it still drives the sports radio narrative. But take the show out of it. Say you were in my life where you were basically just here to chat with me.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to go and do a show 5 days a week.
Yeah.
The Leafs and the Raptors are up against each other head-to-head.
It's Raptors.
Right?
Absolutely. I get more satisfaction of it because, like, let's break this down. Let's start from the top and work our way down. Masai Ujiri is ruthless when he needs to be, decisive, makes tough decisions, and also he's not going to give everyone everything they want.
Can we just call him President Ujiri?
Oh, just never leave.
Prime Minister Ujiri.
Oh, God. If Masai was on the ballot, I would have voted for Masai. Then let's go to the coach. Nick Nurse is not afraid to think outside the box, be unconventional.
And call guys out.
Call guys out. And also make adjustments in the playoffs. Fred Van Vliet, you're not doing well. Okay, Fred, let's see. Let's take a look what's going on. Okay, you're not going to shoot from the corner. You're going to shoot more from the middle, and you're going to be about a foot away further from the three-point line so that teams stop blocking your shot like they did in the Orlando series. Well, then Van Vliet went on fire. Okay, coach, check. Adjustments on the unconventional, all those things. And then let's just go to, hey, Pascal Siakam. The team just lost their best player. Here's max money. Go be better. And he has been. Hey, Austin Matthews, Tavares is out. Here's max money. Go do more. Oh, wait, you just got worked by Montreal's first line. And then finally, Kyle Lowry's a year older. He's not the most physically gifted guy, but he gives a bleep on defense. When I say
takes more charges than anybody else in the league.
Yeah. So when I look at what Lowry does and Siakam, and when I look at Nurse does, and then I look at, say, Matthews or some of the other stars and Babcock, how can I not look at the Raptors and go, this team is doing what I want?
Amen. And keep going down the road. Fred Van Vliet shouldn't even be in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Now he looks like a bona fide NBA starter on pretty much most of the teams across the association.
Yep.
You Pascal Siakam, to your point, wasn't even like a star player in high school.
Nope.
He, like, didn't grow up playing the game. He has just blossomed. And year by year, you can see the work paying off.
Work.
It's work. Like, these, like, you know, even Serge Ibaka, who is in the back nine and probably the back three of his career, is so lovable.
Yeah.
And has turned into this guy. Like, how do you, he's the one person we follow on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And a stabilizing force on the bench. He's been sneaky important for that team.
100%. And is willing to play off the bench. Mm-hmm. When Gasol was brought in, he took a diminished role and contributed so importantly, not just through the playoffs, but even now.
He's
a catalyst coming off the bench. So, maybe it's unfair to compare one team to the other, but it isn't when you have to earn my time and my money.
Yeah.
Like, why would I root for the Leafs when I could root for the Raptors, when the Raptors make the most of what they have and the Leafs seem happy, at least on most nights or some nights, to piss it away?
Yep. It's true. And yes, it's not a totally fair comparison. Different sport and the function of a player is different on a court than on the ice. I acknowledge that. But I've said this many times. If the Leafs embrace their inner Lowry, or now their inner Pascal Siakam, and Babcock, when he says, yep, you know, we looked and, you know, we learned a lot of lessons from the Raptors. Really? Mike, did you
Babcock
learn a lot?
Babcock says that.
Did you learn a lot of lessons? Like, you know, you guys share the same building, but if you guys had more of the Raptors DNA, you'd be so much better.
But don't you think he'd want it, though? I think when he looked at Kawhi Leonard, he wished Austin Matthews was that way. And I don't want to disrespect Austin Matthews because it's not like he's a zero of a player. He's a great player.
He's a star.
He's unbelievably talented. But Kawhi's obsessed.
Yeah.
Kawhi's obsessed with winning.
Yeah.
Like, bored man gets paid. When you hear those stories about what he was like back in San Diego State.
Yeah.
Like, you know, getting the key to the gym and going there at midnight to just do 2 hours of rebounding drills on his own. I don't know. I keep hearing from people who know.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Matthews is dying to win.
Yeah.
Well, at a certain point,
I need to see it on the ice.
Inspiration has to give way to perspiration.
Yeah.
Like, you simply have to become obsessed with it. Oh, you know what Sidney Crosby's doing right now? Thinking about winning.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what he's going to be doing in 2 hours? Thinking about winning.
Yep. He'll take a half an hour break to fake laugh with Nathan MacKinnon for a Tim Hortons ad. And then he's going to go back to thinking about winning. And here's the thing. All the Maple Leafs, if you get to be in the National Hockey League, then you have worked your ass off and you've sacrificed to get to where you are. You're in the 1%, 1%, and 1%. But now it's about that final level. We don't need you to be as much of a psycho as Kawhi, but we need you to look like you're more given a shit, you know, every time you're on the ice.
Maybe the Kawhi thing is just a once in a generation kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But maybe you need to be more Kyle Lowry, because Kyle Lowry, when Memphis was wondering whether they should draft him or not, said, okay, first round talent.
Yeah.
Definitely has talent to be a starter in the league, but he's a little bit short and he's got a kind of a bad attitude.
Yep.
Right. And that made a lot of teams drop him. Mm-hmm. You know, Houston dropped him. Memphis dropped him. He comes to Toronto.
Toronto tried to trade him.
Yeah. And somewhere, and I guess it was, you know, that speech, among other things, that Masai Ujiri said, look, you have two choices. You can either buckle down and set up your family generationally with your next contract, or you can be out of the league in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that is literally your choice. And you want somebody to sit down. And it's not like Mitch Marner is ever going to face that. That's stupid to suggest that he's going to face that kind of choice. But you want to sit him down and say, look, like, you're making $11 million. You are one of the most dynamic playmakers in the league. If you bring this every night, you will be remembered forever.
Yeah.
If you don't, you'll be remembered as quite talented.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great fantasy players, great fantasy team, not the best hockey team right now. Moving on. The Washington Nationals. I threw a tweet out about this. So I'm gonna rip off my tweet. What the Washington Nationals overcame. I'm gonna go big to small. They overcame baggage. They've been in the playoffs four times in the last 7 years. Never got out of the first round. Mm-hmm. They overcame the regular season. They were 19-31. You know, on May 23rd, or the same record as the Blue Jays. They overcame the wild card. Do you know that wild card game against Milwaukee? They trailed 3-1 in the bottom of the eighth with two outs and even two strikes on Anthony Rendon, who got a walk. And then Soto hit a single, and they go on to win. They overcame big teams, swept the Cardinals, beat the 106-win Dodgers, beat the 107-win Astros in seven. And they overcame the best team in baseball. They beat Verlander twice, Gerrit Cole once, and won all four games on the road. That's a hell of a year for the Nats.
So here's the thing. In the moment, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I was certainly cheering for the Nats last night, weren't you?
Yeah.
Not only is Houston extremely unlikable, but just, you know, you pull for, when you don't have a pony in the show, like when you don't have a dog in the race.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to go for the underdog.
Yeah, of course.
What do you think history is going to remember better, though? The lovable, plucky Nationals that did all that you said they did? Or would they have remembered the Houston Astros winning back-to-back and becoming kind of a dominant team? What would history prefer?
I think history would have preferred Houston winning and then the Nationals winning it next year. Yeah. You know, so the full hero arc, you know, the full hero's journey, I think is what history would have preferred. And by the way, I wouldn't find that as well. It's easy to root for Jose Altuve.
Were you not cheering for Roberto Osuna to get hit, though?
I was not displeased when Osuna did nothing. You know, I was.
Man, the Astros have become an unbelievably unlikable franchise.
The weird thing is now, like, some people are angry and don't like Jeff Luhnow. We've interviewed Luhnow. He's a really smart, intelligent. Intelligent guy.
I don't want to speak out with a strong opinion on this because I'm not educated in the matter. I'm dealing mostly with headlines, second-hand sources, all these kinds of things. But if he was aware of some kind of culture that was permissive of what it appears to have been permissive of.
You mean the assistant GM, what the assistant GM did? Yeah. But
But I mean, you know, Luhnow also brought in Roberto Osuna, and there was a lot of people at the time who said, like, that guy's career shouldn't continue. And the Jays walked away from him, and the Jays were in a, you know, I'm sure they didn't want to do it, but they felt they had to do it. Well, they probably wanted to do it for the right reasons, but in a baseball sense, they didn't want to do it. I'm not so in love with that guy right now.
I'm always going to reserve judgment for a couple of things. One, don't know everything.
And that's the thing. Like,
when it comes to, I want every organization to act in a morally sound way, but on another level, I don't care, because it's not up to a sports team to help guide me with my morality. I seek my morality from inside, from my friends, from my family, and to ask an organization to do it, I'm sure a ton of other teams would have taken Osuna. I'm glad they eventually fired the assistant GM. I don't know what happened in the communications meetings or what they knew about what happened, and then they waited till the investigation. I mean, they bungled it up, and I'm glad that assistant GM, like what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing there? Even if it's in the heat of the moment of you win. So I'll say this. I'm glad Washington won. I see why Houston isn't very likable. It makes sense. I just don't have as much negativity towards Houston as a lot of other people do.
They do and have done what a lot of teams do and have done. The Yankees have Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
Aroldis Chapman's a pretty bad dude.
Yeah,
or at least has a history of doing bad things.
He was also on the very likable Cubs.
Right.
You know, morality is a moving target. And if you blink, now someone else is the villain and someone else is the hero. And then we move. David Simon was the biggest hero for ages. Now he's got some of the target on him because he still has James Franco in an HBO project.
See, it's interesting because this is one of the great questions of our time. The success of the Republicans, the GOP and Trump generally, is that they don't try to convince you they're good.
Mm-hmm.
They just try to convince you everybody's bad. And if everybody's bad, then what does it matter if we do bad things?
Ugh.
Right?
Ugh.
They very successfully convinced, like, their strategy is always me corrupt.
Yeah.
Everybody's corrupt. I'm just successful at it.
Yeah.
So we don't even look at corruption as a bad thing anymore. It's almost like weakness to not simply wear it as a badge. So this is my thing about sports and teams. I agree with what you're saying. Most of them are not qualified, even though they speak up all the time on these matters, to really have morally meaningful positions.
Yeah.
They do a lot of bad shit.
Yeah.
You know, some in the public, some behind the scenes, whatever. But there are those who don't. And maybe instead of ripping guys, because your point, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
We just have to champion the good ones more. Like, aren't you just so proud that Masai Ujiri?
Oh. It's yes, 100%.
Whether it's Nelson Mandela stuff,
or the Giants of Africa. Yes, 100%. Yes, Masai Ujiri is the single most important sporting figure in Toronto.
Yeah.
More than Shanahan, Babcock, Dubas, more than Matthews and Marner, more than Pascal Siakam, you know, more than Alejandro Pozuelo from TFC. Look at me saying that name.
Wow, look at you. Nailed it, buddy. Did you watch any of that game last night?
I watched some of it.
It was really exciting.
A lot of flipping. There's no one more important than Masai Ujiri. A, he's really damn good. B, he just seems good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to have that. And yeah.
Just to feel like you can win without being a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That you can win.
Or a light jerk. I'm sure at some point DeMar DeRozan thought Masai Ujiri was a jerk.
Yeah, maybe. That's a fair point. Although if it's true that he never promised that he wouldn't trade him, then he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And that one is always, I think, going to be in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tend to believe DeMar a little bit, though.
I tend to believe DeMar a little bit on this one.
If I had to?
Yeah.
Unqualified as I am to have an opinion?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like DeMar probably got the shaft.
He did.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. That's sports.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you know, we're speaking about good, right?
Yeah.
We're speaking about the forces of good.
We sure are.
We sure are. Well, Jeff Pollock is a force for good.
Is he now?
Jeff Pollock is a lawyer. And in the world of law with lawyers, that is a murky, evil world filled with backstabbers with questionable morality. Then there's our guy, Jeff Pollock, who's just like a super nice guy who's doing everything he can to help you get your will done. And if you need help, anyone listening, if you need your will, litigation, states, trust, whatever, and all the other legalese, I would recommend Jeff Pollock. He's not only a great lawyer, he's a great dad. I've met his kids a bunch of times. They're good kids. I like his wife. Daniel just had a birthday. Shout out. So jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. jeffpollock.com. 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088.
You're a much more social person than I am.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you've gone out of your way to hang out with Jeff and his wife and his kids.
Yeah.
And I'll never do that.
No.
No.
No, you won't.
But I don't see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see anybody.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes you more social than me.
Yes.
Okay, just following this through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The bar is low.
You know what I like?
Mm.
I like to get up 3 hours before everybody so I can have some alone time.
Yeah.
Then I like to help Sandra get off to work and Charlotte go to school so I can have some alone time.
Yep.
Then I like to go to yoga and not be talked to.
Yep.
Then I like to come home and write alone.
Yep. I got to tell you, it's something I think it definitely happens. I can only speak to men. And like, you know, my girlfriend, Amy, she just likes being around people all the time. You know, she's even far more sociable than I am. But I think as guys, it's one way sign you know you're getting older when you like to be alone. Or you almost get excited to be alone.
Are you kidding? Almost.
Like, there's, like, I know.
I'm just excited when nobody's on the same floor in the house as I am.
There is time because you get more done and there is something. And then the funny thing is, you know, and I'll say it to her, like, I do like being alone. But then, you know, there'll be a point where I miss Amy. But as men, we do. You get older and you get excited for some alone time.
Well, we talked about how I am the bear. I am the loon.
Yeah.
I am the whale. I like to take long, deep dives away from everybody
yeah.
and then come back and tell everyone how to live their life. That's pretty much my perfect setup.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting older, I want to say a thank you to Buffalo Phil.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me a nice card.
Aw.
And actually a present, too, which was totally unexpected and very kind. But I'm turning 50 in about 10 days.
I know. I can't wait. Going to be...
Are you coming to the party?
Of course.
Nice.
Of course I'm coming to the party.
It's going to be good food, dude.
Yeah, oh, I know.
I can't decide whether or not to eat it or not. Like, can I be on a diet on my own 50th birthday?
No, no.
Oh, my God. Amy just, like, yelled from the other side of the room.
No.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. It's not like... It makes me sick to eat it, right? Like, if I had a big lasagna, I would feel physically sick because I have a... allergy to it.
What we could put a man on the moon, blah, blah. Is there something that these fakakta nutritionists have told you that you, is there anything that you, is there anything you can eat that brings you real joy?
Steak. No.
Okay. So steak.
I can have a steak.
Yeah.
I can have wings.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
What if I had like, what if I got like steak and maybe this is a new creation, so I could have bacon around it, like filet mignon.
Yeah.
But then also like chicken cordon bleu, where we put a chicken wing inside the steak and then wrap it in bacon.
The problem with
that
is...
And we could call that steak a la Mac.
That's I worry about the bone.
Yeah, good point. Well, we could filet it, but then it's not a chicken wing.
That's not
a
chicken wing. You gotta have it as a side. You know what? You have the steak, and instead of usually where you have some vegetables on the side, you have chicken wings on
okay,
the side.
Okay, well, what if you... What if you took the wing and you got a thin strip steak that was banged out, hammered nice thin, and then you wrapped around it, kind of like the batter on a corn dog.
Yeah.
And then deep fry that.
Do it.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Just something to bring you joy, not something to bring you satisfaction for denying joy.
Now, do I drink? That's the next question. Because I haven't had a drink really in years. Like I could. I've had a couple, but...
Yeah. You've had a couple glasses.
I went to my friend's 50th.
Yep.
And he got plastered.
Yeah.
Plastered. And I thought, I knew mine was coming, right? And I thought, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to get drunk. It might be fun just to sort of say goodbye to all that, but.
Could you give a slight buzz?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm capable of having a slight buzz.
It's hard.
It really is. Because
the slight buzz leads to a full buzz, leads to a minor drunk, and then you promise you're going to keep drinking water, but you don't because the wine or whatever tastes better. And then
the slight buzz is like having small portions
mm-hmm.
of food you love
yeah.
with more food on the table
yeah,
while
exactly.
you eat.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not help yourself to more?
It's
the small
impossible.
Buzz basically is like, it's like it's flirting with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's flirting. Right?
Well, it's the promise of something more, and it's right around the corner. Right? Yeah.
It's like nibbling on your ear.
Yep. But yeah, your 50th is coming up. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
I made a realization, and I'm happy about this, because I didn't intellectually figure this out. It just sort of feels right. As I enter the next decade, and it's a big one, right? Like, this psychologically is the biggest one to enter, I think.
Okay.
I have no interest in trying to define my life as to how I measure up to 35-year-old me.
Okay, yeah.
I'm much more interested in how awesome can I be at 60.
Yeah, that's a great outlook, and that is exactly the way to do it. There's no point comparing what you were or what you should be. It should be what is coming up next. And I've said this quote before. I'll give it again. I always love this line. When Adam Carolla was interviewing Norman Lear, one of the true legends, giants of the TV industry. He was being interviewed at, and he's still alive. He's been interviewed, I think, like 92, 93.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he said, I'm a much different person now than when I was 85. And I love that
God,
quote.
That's cool.
It is cool because The one thing we do in society, men, we love beating up on old people. Mm-hmm. Men, like, we just love to dismiss anyone who's old. Ah, just a bunch of old dudes talking. It's like, well, they might, using old as a pejorative, it's not the best thing, because, you know, if everything works out well, you'll be old one day as well. But I just love the fact that we have this image that once you hit a certain age, that's it. You're like Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back. You're frozen in carbonite. But this is another way of looking at it, that you can still evolve, change, surprise yourself, be reinvigorated, be inspired, even at that age. And I fucking love that quote.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah.
I might jot that one down.
Yeah.
And I liked your use of the F word too.
You know what? I rarely use it.
It was emphatic.
No. I rarely use it.
It came from the cellar.
Yeah.
I felt
Yeah.
I felt it and I believed it. How long do we have? Because I have a quick question. A couple quick questions for you.
We got 3 minutes.
Okay. Are you watching Watchmen?
No. Should I?
Not yet.
Okay.
Give me a couple more episodes because it's slow.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of loose fitting threads that may or may not come together. If they don't come together soon, I'm going to start not paying attention.
Yep. Fair.
But if they do come together, it could be really good. Mm-hmm. So I'll watch 4 or 5 and I'll report back.
Canary going down the mine shaft.
Yeah, 100%. I'll take it for the team on this one.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Game of Thrones?
That things are being canceled? They
canceled the White Walker, the Long Night,
right?
The Naomi Watts led.
Yeah.
Look at the origin of the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. And they're going to focus on the House Targaryen instead, a show called Blood and Fire.
Okay.
What do you think?
Could we get Peter Dinklage back? Could we get?
Yeah, it kind of. I'm with you. I was kind of like, I don't really care.
Yeah,
the stories. There's 50 stories you could tell. There's only one that I'm excited to see, and I don't think I will. And that's the Arya Stark West of Westeros concept.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something I would watch every week.
Yep, 100%. I'm fine with it all being over. Yeah. And I enjoyed the last season more than the average person. And again, we won't get into that. I get all the criticism, but I'm good with it. It's satiated me.
Do you want to see the Star Wars universe expand after number 9 comes out?
It's going to depend how number 9 is, because number 8 was bad.
Yeah, I like number 8, actually.
I know.
I thought number 7 was pretty bad. I watched it back. It doesn't age as well as you think it does.
8 just bothered me.
Some gutsy choices, though.
We have no time to debate that. I'll just say, Bob, it's good to be back. I'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
And
then I'll be 50, and then I'll see you the week after that.
Exactly.
Wait, are you going to drink at my party?
I might have a drink.
Are you going to be the drunkest person there?
No. No.
I guarantee it. None of my friends drink.
Ah, damn it. I'm Amy's.
Merrick.
Hopefully Strombo. Amy's. Oh, God, you're right. All your nerdy.
Landsberg.
All your nerdy loser friends. Damn it.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to be the drunk guy. And I was like, aha, look at prank monkey cause
so
over
true.
There.
Like at your stag.
At your stag. Yeah.
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 You were awesome that night.
It's a fun night. Goodbye, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.